climate change is often thought of in the abstract of something to prepare for in the future. For some, the future is already here. Rising sea levels, threatening weather, and particularly poverty are already being seen on the island of Kiribati. And the children that live there are faced with what their home might become. This story has been told in the new short documentary made for the fourth season of Wireless Docs. Director Andrea Egan is with us on the line. Andrea, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about the documentary. What's it focused on?
So Joe, my co-director, and I have been covering climate change issues for 8 years together. And so we've gone to a lot of Pacific Island countries. And I think that we wanted to hear kids tell the story in their own words, because I think that when we talk about climate change, when we talk about who it's affecting, you know, when you look at Pacific Islands, their contributions to causing climate change is negligible. And then, of course, you know, you compound that with, you know, the children in these countries have done nothing. And so to cause this catastrophic sort of situation that they have to now deal with. So I think that we were really interested in how they're feeling, what they're thinking, and what they think about this sort of existential crisis that they're facing, you know, whether their low-lying island home will be habitable when they grow up.
Yeah, and watching your documentary, I mean, Kiribati, this is real. This is not abstract concepts for them, isn't it? This is really frontline, everyday stuff, eh? Grappling with a changing climate, you know, whether it be sort of more salty sort of ground or what have you. I mean, what when you talk to these children, what were their biggest concerns?
You know, it was surprising to me that a couple of them were more concerned about sharks or things that I think are not really the most salient concerns for them. But what we began to recognize is how much food will impact their choices in the future. So these kids are eating really unhealthy food that is just shipped in. So a lot of rice, a lot of flour, white flour, a lot of fried and just not very healthy things, because saltwater inundation is making it so that they can't grow vegetables. They can't grow crops like they used to, and the fish are getting smaller and more scarce. And, you know, as it mentions in the videos, there are areas where they're just washing up dead on shore because the water's too hot. So, you know, with climate change and the sea levels warming, fish stocks are migrating elsewhere. So for Kiribati, their diet is the highest in the world for reliance on fish. And so if they have no fish, their landmass is so small that there aren't many options. And so these kids are obese. They are, this is, you know, the top 10 countries in the world for obesity and diabetes. And so when you talk about that, those kids won't have the choice to migrate elsewhere potentially. So I think that was one of the things that we really kept seeing, is these kids have limited options. And I think every parent or every person agrees that, you know, kids should have options.
And that's where, I suppose, you talk about sort of the lack of fish. That's where the double tragedy of something like a changing ocean really hits. Hey, because here is a nation, an island nation, who in which should be surrounded by very, very abundant waters, full of fish, as they were, but just not the case.
Yeah, and you know, it's changing at such a ferocious rate that, you know, people have inhabited Kiribati for 2,000 plus years, and they're, you know, incredibly resilient, incredibly resourceful. You know, these kids that were fishing in temperatures that, you know, were not for the faint of heart, or, you know, finding food sources that require a lot of skill and work. And I just think the reality is that these things are changing really quickly, and you know, unfortunately, you have a lot of malnourished kids. You have a lot of infant mortality, and the mortality rates for kids under 5 is really much, much higher than it should be. It's comparable to sub-Saharan Africa, so it's Yeah, it's a lot of things that kids shouldn't be dealing with. They shouldn't be drinking dirty water. They shouldn't have to eat, unhealthy imported food all the time. And so, yeah, it's a difficult tension for them where, we don't want to say this is the last generation that will live in Kiribati. But I think some things have to change.
Right. So now I understand this isn't the first project. Well, as you said, that you've worked on. You've been making for a number of years, making films for the UN in the Pacific. So give us an idea of the scale of issues with regard to this that is happening across the Pacific. I mean, how are people meeting this quite extraordinary challenge? What are you seeing?
We're seeing a lot of great adaptation. And actually, Jacinda Ardern this morning, as she spoke to the UN, just pledged additional funds for adapting to climate change in the Pacific. So I think that there's really wonderful work that's going, that's being conducted on the ground with the UN, with SPREP, with other organizations. But in places like Kiribati and Tuvalu and other Tokelau, we've been to Tokelau, that Joe and I have been to, a lot of them, the most fragile ones are the ones that obviously have really limited land mass. And so when you think about these tiny threads in the ocean, in the middle of the ocean, sea level rise is not this abstract idea of, moving further inland or displacement. It's actually, a sovereignty issue. What's going to happen when these people are displaced so for all the countries that we've been to, food security is a big one. Health is always something that we're really struck by. Like in Tuvalu, for example, they have a lottery where you can, if you win the lottery, you'll get a cucumber. So for us, I think we're always pretty shocked by the food situation. And you think about choices being made for people. If you're malnourished and obese, or if you have type 2 diabetes later in life, the health consequences of what you're eating touches on every aspect of your life. And so I think climate exacerbated food poverty or these poor diets that we see again and again, that's maybe the most dramatic thing that we can see.
Right. Hey, just finally, are you going to be keeping in touch with the issues on Kiribati particularly? It seems to be kind of a bit of a litmus test for how people are being displaced, almost in real time by climate change. So will you be keeping an eye on the issue?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, there's a couple of interesting projects that the nonprofit we worked through that will be continuing this with Harvard Med School and looking at food security and climate change and really trying to come up with more creative solutions quicker, especially for these kids, making sure that they're not drinking dirty water or that they're not malnourished. So definitely Kiribati actually was 10 years ago. I was a research fellow and I had to come up with an idea for something where I could measure human rights implications. And so 10 years ago, I looked at sea level rise in Kiribati and the human rights implications, and it's changed the trajectory of my career. So it's something I've been passionate about for a long time. So I think I'll continue looking for ways to highlight the challenges and some of the solutions.
Director Andrea Egan, and the link to that documentary on Kiribati is on our website. Go and check it out. It's only 7 minutes long, but well worth it. rnz.co.nz/afternoons. Andrea, thanks for your time.